You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, become a Cleveland Browns season ticket member today. Secure the best seats at the best prices with flexible payment plans available. Don't miss the excitement at First Energy Stadium this fall with home matchups against the Broncos, Niners, Cardinals, Redskins, Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. That's 440-824-3434. 216-578-0850. Got questions about the OTAs. Browns Daily is the only place that had coverage of today's OTA practice. We'll get to those. We've got tweets as well. Also, what position group do you feel like made the biggest improvement this offseason? And what position group are you still the most nervous about? Let us know. 216-578-0850 or on Twitter. We'll start with this. Some more questions about practice. John Kreutz says, how boring are these practices? I don't think they're boring at all. I actually enjoy it. So that you get an opportunity to go out there and see them play some football, which is good. P. Myers Golf says, for perspective, does Connor Shaw look about the same as Johnny from a grasp of play call and progressions?
It's very hard to judge because of the opportunity that they're given. Johnny Manziel is taking all second team reps. And Connor Shaw, today at least, didn't get a rep while I was out there for any team period. Even Thad Lewis came in and took some third team reps. So it's very difficult to make the judge, but as I continue to give out my props, Connor Shaw and Thad Lewis, when not in the huddle, they are mimicking the quarterback actions, you know, 10 or 15 yards behind, while giving the play call, yep, just like Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel in their ear as well. They're walking through, you know, the hand placement, the footwork, the calls, the throws, the reads, so on and so forth. And it's their natural progression when not given reps. They've got to get mental reps the best they can. So when they do have the opportunity, they can go out there and put their best foot forward and not look like they're behind.
I agree with that, and that's what he's trying to do. A lot of questions about Connor Shaw as well. Papa Giorgio saying, how is he looking? He looks good to me. Again, I think you probably would say he is ahead of Johnny from grasp of the playbook and progressions, et cetera, from the mental side of it. Just doesn't have necessarily the arm talent about it. Behind enemy lines, G.I. George says, the Browns are neither top 10 nor a bottom 10 team. I think 18 would be fair. 27 is ridiculous. And the Browns backers, UYUL says, disagree. Browns not worse than they were at the end of 2014 when they were about 20th. And the schedule might make it look tougher, but they are going to be a similar team. Scott Shelby says, how's Johnny's hair after he takes off his professional football helmet? I think his hair looks very good.
His hair does look very good.
No issues about his hair there. Browns update. It says, who's looking better, Justin Gilbert or Tremont Williams? Has Gilbert been getting any first-team reps?
Gilbert has been getting first-team reps. He got a lot of first-team reps today with Joe Hayden not at practice today. I would still have to say Tremont Williams, given his experience, the swagger that he exudes, the leader that he is, and Justin Gilbert still doing everything he can professionally to close that gap on a day-to-day standpoint. He is taking steps, and that's just what I referenced earlier when it comes to the quarterback, when it comes to Cam Irving. In this case, Justin Gilbert, given a small opportunity last year, didn't take it and run with it on this defense, but needs to grow to be a pro. He's practicing like a pro. He's doing everything they ask for, and at no point does it seem like a quarterback is going at him and away from Hayden, or at him and away from Tremont, or at him and away, to K1 Williams and so on and so forth. So he doesn't stand out like a sore thumb as he did in football games during the season last year.
I was just going to say that Tremont Williams is flashing some nice plays and got to watch him in coverage, but I have not seen – Justin Gilbert hasn't stood out to me good or bad, which I guess is good.
Yeah.
He hasn't, flashed anything. He has also, at the same time, he has not been picked on. He stood out last year for negative reasons, so he's not doing that. So that is progress on that level, as you're right. Nobody's going after him. SpiderMonkey216 says, what makes say Connor Shaw gets the playbook more than Johnny? He just looks more comfortable. You can see in 7-on-7s, that's where they get equal reps when they split that up. Now, granted, he's, again, with the second stringers in those 7-on-7s, but he just looks a little bit more natural with the progressions, just like he did it when he played that game against Baltimore. He just looked a little bit more natural in the pocket than Johnny does at this point. But again, he doesn't have that talent.
You're absolutely right. And for me, just to give you my personal perspective on something that kind of happened in my mind, when you're able to step away from the football game. So I had an ankle surgery between my junior and senior year at Ohio State, and I wasn't able to partake in spring practice. What it allowed me to do was dive into the playbook and understand all the nuances, sit through all those meetings without having to actually go out there and physically take part in practice. It allowed me to sit in on coaches' meetings, to stand by the coaches and say, why are you calling? What are you calling? you know, what's the reasoning behind it, and understand and thinking like a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator. And that's what Connor Shaw got to do all last year as a practice squad guy. He got to fling it around on the practice squad to build confidence, to go against the number one defense and get completions, even though he's throwing off a card. All those things helped develop that confidence in himself to go out and be ready and prepared to play versus the Baltimore Ravens. And a lot of the reason why he's probably ahead of the curve, he's not going out there and learning from his own mistakes, which will hurt him over time. But he's learning off of a card. He's learning from his minimal amount of reps. He's learning off the video that they watch each and every day of Josh McCown. Why'd you throw this? This is where I'd like to go with the football. And walking through those scenarios, he's just a very cerebral player, and he takes it all visually and mentally into his head so that when he goes out there, it's like second nature because he's seen the mistakes that Johnny and Josh has made or Brian Hoyer last year, and he goes out and doesn't make those same mistakes. So just a little bit more natural to him.
I wonder why, and this was a question somebody actually sent us on Twitter, was why have they not created some type of a simulator for quarterbacks to feel like they are in the pocket and have to read through defenses? Why isn't something been created like that?
There's your idea. You want to put that together and go to the Shark Tank?
I mean, I think it would be a great idea.
I think it's very hard to do.
You should be able to have cameras on the quarterback helmet, so you should be able to go through those practices from their eyes. And so Johnny should be able to step into, like, Josh McCown's practice reps. McCown should be able to step into Johnny's practice reps, go through their eyes, and just kind of feel it.
Sure. That's not a bad idea. I think it's also, even in practice, even in training camp, when you have the pads on and you're out there for two and a half hours going through practice, simulating situations in a football, the move the field period is the most game-like situation. Yep. Where the coaches are on the sideline, no coaches on the field, they're calling it in the way they do in the game. It's still not the pace
of a game.
It still doesn't have the pressure to be perfect that a game does, because you know if you screw it up now, you can simply go back in there, learn it, and fix it for tomorrow, which you hope you don't have to do time and time again during the season.
I just think there's something about it. You know, clearly the NFL is struggling to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That somebody should be able to invent something like that, another way for quarterbacks to get practice reps out, being exposed to injury, etc. The mental reps of it, to really work on the mental side of it. I mean, ultimately, you need to be able to deliver the football accurately, etc. But to get through the progressions and know what you see, I think is something that could be valuable. And I know that it's not the same, but I know, you know, they said Teddy Bridgewater in his downtime would load in his team's playbook and load in the expected coverages based on film study that they would see from an opponent. And then would just, like, play it on Madden over and over and over again, just as a way to, like, see reactions to what was happening out there.
Yeah, that's a virtual simulation. He just created it
but
for himself.
But you know what? I feel like you got to see it out of your eyes.
You definitely do.
You got to be able to see it.
You definitely do. And also, too, what you wouldn't be able to get out of that simulator is the feeling. You know,
the pressure,
the pressure, the feeling, that clock that goes off mentally when you've got, you know, 260 to 330 pound, you know, grown men, you know, bearing down on you, and you have to deliver that football on the point in the right situation, you know, at reachable for that wide receiver. There's just so many intangibles that come into play, which is why these guys make so much money, because the good ones that can do it, they deserve it. And that's the one thing I always urge fans to do, or for you and I, if we have an opportunity, and I have in my career, is just get back there and stand, you know, 5 yards behind the quarterback and just try and see and feel what it's like to do that.
Yeah.
Or the one situation that I had in football was, I think it was in San Diego, I kept dog cussing a safety, you know, in coverage. Like, dude, it's cover two. Just get to your hat, you know, get to the, you know, inside edge of the numbers and cover your half the field. How hard is that? And then our coach, like, overheard me doing that. He's like, all right. He's like, you guys switch. You're going to play safety. We'll call the same coverage. You're going to come up and play linebacker. Go see how easy it is. Just get back to your numbers. And I mean, it was just, you know, a different world. That's like to have a defensive lineman move 5 yards back and play linebacker, or to have a linebacker go back and play safety. It's like a different world, because you just take those blinders off as you move further and further from the football.
So did you feel like lost? Like you were in so much space?
Yeah. Footwork was horrible. I literally just sprinted back there and stood there and just kind of backpedaled. You know, I didn't have to make a play on the ball. I didn't have to break on it, but it was harder than you could ever imagine.
Because plus receivers at that point are moving at such faster speeds. You're usually like chucking them on their way by as they're getting started.
Yeah. And you're closing windows, right. You know, and there you're the last resort. You know, so it's like one misstep and it's a touchdown.
That's why they call him the safety. That's what it is. Anyway, 216-578-0850. So here's somebody actually sent this to me. During the NFL Combine week, downtown Indianapolis swells with little clandestine meetings, blah, 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 blah. One of such meetings was the future of football coaching was being projected through a $350 headset connected to laptops. The NFL coaches were watching Stanford's practice film of 2014. Nothing exotic, etc. But what it was, the perspective of it all. Whoever put on that headset with its earphones and goggles became the quarterback on that field in Palo Alto. Look left, you can see your tight end sitting in position. Look in front of you, the safety's in the mic. Turn to the right, you see the right tackle over the receiver. You can twist around 180 degrees, and if you look all the way back, you could have seen your running back. It was as if you were really in it, one NFL coach said after that. He said, you put the headset on and shoot, it's real. So this is what we're talking about. So there it is.
So it's been created. It's our idea.
Apparently it is.
Gone.
The guy, 29-year-old Derek Belch, former kicker, now quality control assistant for the Cardinal, led all the meetings. Belch could have told his audience some stats like Kevin Hogan went from 64% completions to 76 after using the headset regularly for about 20 minutes before the games. Cardinal went from 24 points game to 38 in those final three. They scored on every one of its last 27 red zone trips. Interesting. This technological breakthrough, that's amazing.
What's the cost on a piece of equipment like this?
It was like $350. I don't know what they have to shoot.
$350?
Yeah. He said,
I thought you were going to say $350,000.
He said Belch knew one play, a 35-yard handoff in the Foster Farms Bowl against Maryland, that would resonate inside the NFL world. The initial play called 95 Bama was a strong side run with one of the key blocks being the wide receiver picking up the safety. The problem was Maryland's Sam was on the line. Hogan knew if he called the play as it was, the receiver would have no shot to make the block, and it would be a 4-yard loss. So he killed the call, audible to another run play where it was designated to kick out the safety, et cetera, blah, 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 and they did it. The decision had to become second nature for Hogan because he'd seen it, done it so many times in that 20-minute session with the headset. He said it was easy. I'd already seen that play before I was on the field.
So you're loading in the game, the opponent into that virtual reality simulator, correct?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's really neat.
Yeah. The world's leading authority on virtual reality, how the brain functions in a virtual environment, is what they went to. So it is happening.
What about, like, instead of wearing the guys wear the visor, like Johnny wears the visor, but it becomes like a full-on Google
in
Glass
there.
Shield.
Yeah.
You know, like Google Glass has that little piece that you wear over your eye that sends data to you.
Interesting. So what Disco Puma says, who's usually plugged in pretty well, he says, I believe the NFL said teams are not allowed to use it. Why not? It's a practice thing. I don't understand why you wouldn't be able to do it.
I don't know.
Very interesting.
Call Roger.
Very interesting. They say when you're watching film, you have a bird's eye view from the sky. It's hard to see if they're leaning. But with this, you're going through your cadence and you start going through your dummy count. You can see the safety start to creep up. That's an indicator. When you're watching film, you don't get the sound. You don't get the real life feel of the game. With this, I can see how the structure is. Very interesting.
But I guess the reason why, and unless the NFL mandated that every team has it, whether they use it or not is their discretion. But I would think it would give a competitive advantage to one team over another that has it and uses it properly than one that doesn't.
Trent Dilfer says, I was blown away. I thought this is going to change how quarterbacks prepare. I've seen just about everything that's out there. There's nothing like it. I think if Breeze or Brady see this, they're going to demand it. It's an absolute walk-off grand slam. But at the end of the day, the coach has to understand it. Sounds like a very interesting thing. Initially, we were pushing to sell to NFL franchises. I'm not selling the company. I'm not running the company, blah, blah, blah. Let's see if he says anything. Shaw predicts it'll be everywhere in football in 3 years max. I'm thinking 2 years is going to be a lot of places. Every NFL quarterback that's seen has blown away and has said, I want this. It's better than watching film. It's better than sitting on my iPad where I can see but can't really see. With this, I feel like I'm getting better. That's the one demographic where it's been 100%. You follow anything in the NFL, you're going to follow the money. If you pay a guy $100 million, you have to spend another couple hundred thousand to help him do his job better, you're going to make sure that investment pays off.
I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL themselves buys this product outright and then sells it to their teams or gives it to their teams.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, offer the kid $20 million, whatever it is, and you can't say no.
I think it's pretty fascinating. You got some Stanford brains behind it. It's pretty fascinating. And they say they can go on 7-on-7. They can go on 11-on-11. They can do everything, and they can load in anything that they want, they can go through.
Does it have to be taped a specific way?
Yeah, so it's specific an outside camera? Group. Okay. Yes, you got to have a lot of faith in them. They're the ones filming. They're going to be privy to your game plan, your plays, what you're doing for the week. You're going to also need complete buy-in from your staff on a week-to-week basis.
Gotcha.
So, yes, you have to bring someone in to film it.
That's the deal breaker. That's the reason it's not in NFL locker rooms right now.
I mean, it still seems to me like it might be worth that.
I know, but it's a trust thing.
You vet those people. Vet those people hard and get it. I think it would help. I mean,
or get your own.
Especially for the guys. Right, train somebody to shoot it the way that you need to do. Right now you've got, you know, quarterbacks trying to make that transition from the spread into the NFL, and I think this would be the easiest way to help them do that because you're going to be able to get thousands and thousands of reps of throwing from the pocket.
That's
that you
exactly
otherwise
what
be able
I was
to
just going
to
say. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because it's not about can Johnny Manziel make the throw. It's about can he decipher quickly enough what's going on so that he knows where to go with the throw.
Right. And him making a throw is what he's not able to do right now. And him doing that at the college level was him taking off the football.
Right.
And you buying and time. We all know, and buying time, and we all know that that cannot survive in the NFL.
Yeah, right. We know that, Kent. Very interesting stuff. 216-578-0850. What do you think about this virtual reality thing for quarterbacks? Also, we'll talk about which position we think has made the biggest upgrade this offseason, where we're still the most concerned as it relates to the Browns. And we also have Browns Fan Fest tickets to give away as well. Two pairs of those. We'll do that around 2:30 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.